I think it's important that you commented that they'll sit there and look at porn. Like I've never heard of from a woman in this situation say, no, he never looks at porn. I don't think it's a problem with getting off. I think it's an issue where these guys just for some reason just lose all interest in having sex with their partner or even viewing their partner in a sexual way, which is awful for a relationship because a partner needs to feel desired. I think that's a very healthy thing in a relationship, and that's a very healthy aspect of human connection.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kahlo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, and creating relationship dynamics that truly align for you. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have my partner, Scott, which most of you know who Scott is.
Hello.
Scott is so freaking cute. Just going to eat you up. Today, we're going to talk about men spiral into sexual detachment and avoidance. And this came about because, as most of you know, and if you don't, now you do, Scott and I are in an open relationship, meaning we date outside of just each other. We bring people in. Semi-open, as Scott calls it, meaning our dynamic is that Scott and I date women together. So we have our primary relationship as each other. We do day-to-day life together, help raise kids together, pay the mortgage together, all the things. And sometimes we bring in a woman. Our dynamic also is that we love to have women long-term. Anyway, I just thought that'd be interesting to clarify. The reason for this conversation is Scott and I are noticing as we're having conversations with new women on dating apps, especially, it's the same resounding story. Scott, let me just hand this off to you and let you tell our listeners, what is this story and how the fuck did we get to this conversation?
Yeah, well, we're noticing, I've noticed this for a long time, where women, very attractive women, will be in relationships with guys, or they'll describe their previous relationship with somebody, and the story is always, we just never had sex. We just stopped having sex. It was great at the beginning of the relationship, the first few weeks. We had sex all the time, but we haven't had sex in months. And he just never seems to want to have sex with me. And I'm always having to initiate. And it's always very enthusiastic. And then it's, he had ED issues, or he had low testosterone, or whatever reason. But yeah, this seems to be a very common story. And I don't know. Do you want me to just give that introduction, or how much do you want me to elaborate on that?
Well, I guess let's just pause for a second there, that this is sad, guys. When we're talking hot women, like, these are fine ass hot women that their men want nothing to do with them sexually. And then they get to us and we're like, come on in, come on into the party. Like, we got you, boo. And so what is wrong? And so Scott and I started having these conversations and I'm like, I don't fucking understand. He was like, there's this spiral that happens when you have an issue sexually as a man that gets you to this place where you'd rather sit on your recliner and jack off to porn, or just be not even interested in sex anymore. And there's also other issues like testosterone issues, and men are having issues with testosterone earlier and earlier. And so I just thought today, let's have some conversations around this, like, help our listener, Scott, understand, like, what is the spiral? How does it happen? What does it feel like in your body? How has it happened to you? And how do you get yourself out of it as a woman? How can we support our men? All the things I want to talk about today.
Well, I think it's important that you commented that they'll sit there and look at porn. Like, they'll definitely get off to porn. I've never heard of from a woman in this situation. I've never heard her say, no, he never looks at porn. They have no problem looking at porn. I don't think it's a problem with getting off. I think it's an issue where these guys just, for some reason, well, there are a lot of reasons, I think, just lose all interest in having sex with their partner, or even viewing their partner in a sexual way, which is awful for a relationship, because a partner needs to feel desired. I mean, I think that's a very healthy thing in a relationship. That's a very healthy aspect of human connection. And granted, there are plenty of, I'm reluctant to use the word healthy, but there are plenty of stable and working partnerships where sex just isn't a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And particularly, like, probably if anybody asks their parents about their grandparents, like, my grandparents slept in separate bedrooms, and this was like a normal thing for previous generations, and I guess is not a totally uncommon thing even for people our age or younger, where the partners just have separate bedrooms. And like with my grandparents, I don't know if they, like, my mom told me that when she was born, when she was conceived, it was like the first time my grandparents had had sex in months or years. Like, it was an incredibly uncommon thing, but they had a very stable and, you know, a marriage that lasted all their lives. But that's, I guess that's beside the point, that plenty of people want to have sexual relations. Like, they want their partner to want to have sex with them. And I think that there also comes this, maybe this black and white in the mind of probably women who have had this experience in relationships, where they get the mindset that if my options are to either have a long-term relationship that's going to inevitably turn sexless and just dead, will have a dead bedroom, mm-hmm. or my only other option is to just go out and have a lot of casual sex partners and not really establish a relationship, just have a bunch of fuck buddies. And I don't think, obviously, I don't think that that's true, and that's not been the case for us. As for, well, let me put it back to you before I just monologue on all my thoughts. What, from your perspective and the conversations you've had, what's your observation of what leads to this?
Great question.
And as somebody who is in relationships, that, I mean, I know you and your previous husband still had sex, but it wasn't like, you know, a passionate, amorous sex. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, well, it's that time of the week again. Let's get it out of the way.
Climb on top of you. Yeah, exactly. So much to this. And I think as a sex and relationship coach, I do see this frequently, and it's typically women my age. I do believe too in this whole, you know, like, law of attraction, and Scott may roll his eyes, but like, I do believe that we attract who we are. And so I seem to attract women my age that have had very similar experiences. They've been in marriages a decade to two decades. Most of them haven't been divorced yet, where I did get divorced 10 years in and then had another 8-year marriage. They married their high school sweetheart or their college sweetheart. They got married very young. They felt almost that it was dutiful. They thought, well, this may be the last guy that I have a chance to marry and have kids with. So they did the things. And for a lot of them, you know, there was sex and excitement at the beginning. And it seems like the story goes, like, as they had the first kid and there's this adjustment period, things never go back, you know? And so then all of a sudden, 6, 7, 8 years in, there is no sex anymore. they're not even speaking to each other. One woman that I coached, her and her husband would literally walk around with headphones on and the kids would go do their own thing. And they would, no one would communicate at all, but they slept in the same bed. They're just hadn't had sex for, you know, 8 years or something. So to my, you know, experience with my second marriage, you know, you mentioned, well, you mentioned several things like your grandparents sleeping in separate bedrooms and then your mother getting conceived after they hadn't had sex for years. And it was like probably either an accident or maybe it was intentional and they kind of hoped that they would get pregnant. I don't know. But for me, and I know that not everybody is like me, but I want connection with my partner. And for me, connection is physical. I know you and I talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes for you, physical is, you know, it's not penetration, but it's just being held. It's holding each other. It's snuggling on the couch. It's petting each other. It's, yeah, you know, like all those
physical,
you know,
contact.
Right. And so you guys hear me bring up a lot about erotic blueprints, and our erotic blueprints teach us how we feel love and how we feel turn on. And each one of us is very different. His bulldog is like snoring in the corner. So cute. So Scott, I guess part of the issue, and I'm using air quotes for those of you that aren't watching us on YouTube or on, you know, whatever, on Spotify, each one of us has such different needs. Because to your point, I know several people our age that sleep in separate bedrooms, not let alone separate beds, and they still find ways to have intimacy with each other, whatever intimacy means for them. And it might be sharing cereal in the morning, like before they go to work, you know? It might mean snuggling and watching Netflix at night, and that for them is enough. So what do you do when you and your partner have such different drives and such different needs anyway? Does that lead to this like detachment and disassociation with our partners?
Well, what I almost never hear is, well, we never have sex. Like, he never wants to have sex with me, but we have an amazing connection. Otherwise, we do all kinds of things together that are very, very fulfilling. I mean, for some people, yeah, but usually that's not the case. Usually it's, well, he seems very avoidant. He doesn't really want to talk to me, doesn't want to really discuss this. And we just don't have a lot of closeness anymore. What was your question though?
No, I think you're onto it. Well, I was saying, if we have these different, you know, erotic needs, these different connective needs, even, let alone Gary Chapman's love languages and how I feel loved by you from you taking out the garbage, you know, can or whatever. This is like me feeling deep connection.
Okay. Well, let me jump onto the word need. Because when your partner has a need, I think what happens is, yes, I keep framing this as it's the man who loses interest in sex. I'm sure it can go both ways, but what we always hear about is women whose male partners stop wanting to have sex with them, I think a man, maybe this is not very PC.
I knew you were going to go there.
A man feels an inherent obligation to meet the needs of his partner. And even if he sucks at it, and even if he abdicates that need, that obligation, it's still there. It's like ingrained. And so I think what happens is at some point, a guy is, they've got a lot going on. They've got they're working at a job they don't like. And so they feel stressed from that, or they're in school and they've got a lot of work or whatever is going on in their life. It's just at some point exhausting them. And they, when they leave that thing that is exhausting them, they just want to check out. They want to veg out on the couch, or they want to do something that just gives them an escape, a release from whatever all that other stuff is that's stressing them out. And instead of like looking at their partner and seeing their partner as a source of relief or support, instead of viewing sex with their partner as that escape, they get this sense that it's an obligation. They're like, I'm tired. I don't like, she's going to want me to do all this stuff to get her worked up. You know, she's going to want me to, be sensual with her and make out with her and touch her all over and get her all warmed up and then perform sexually. And I don't have the energy for all that. I just want to lie here and watch the stupid basketball game, or I just want to sit here and, you know, play Call of Duty with my friends. And I just don't want to satisfy that obligation. I don't want to fulfill that need right now. And maybe that's where it starts. Maybe it's just, that's a one-time thing. But I think the danger is that men, and I won't say that I've never personally had a relationship destroyed this way, but I've definitely been in situations where I was exhausted and could have very easily gone down this spiral. And that spiral is the man recognizes in that moment or in this phase of time that he's not meeting that need. And he feels anxiety from that. And the anxiety from that compounds with the performance anxiety of, I can't be good at sex right now. I'm not going to be, you know, on my game. I'm feeling tired and not energetic. And that, you know, anxiety kills sex drive and it carries over. And so this kind of perpetuates over time. They go like a week has gone by and he hasn't had sex with his partner. And then he starts to recognize, oh man, she's probably getting pretty irritated with me, or she's recognizing that I'm being, you know, neglectful in this sense. And now that's even more anxiety. And that makes me want to kind of avoid her. Maybe I can, you know, maybe I can get back into it and we can reconnect and have, you know, have good sex and things go like get back on the up. But maybe they don't. And maybe this becomes a persistent cycle over time. And this, the man starts like, he just keeps feeling more and more mounting anxiety to the point where, and then also the things outside the relationship, the things that are stressing him out, that doesn't get better. Like work stays shitty, or school stays incredibly busy. And so their energy is going into something that is not making them feel empowered. Because if you feel empowered, like that's a sex drive booster. If you just feel drained, well, that's does the opposite. And then that compounded with the anxiety of not satisfying your partner over time, that just gets worse and worse. And so they're persisting in that energy drain, and then they're persisting in that mounting anxiety, and then they start to see their partner, that all they see is the obligation that they are neglecting. They're seeing the needs that they're not satisfying, and they feel more and more distant. They don't feel the connection to their partner. They just feel like, God, I'm going to have to confront this at some point, or we're going to have to sit down and have this, you know, conversation about our feelings and about our relationship, but I don't want to do that today. And so then they'll try to fill the space and they'll fill the conversation with trivial shit like, hey, did you see the game, or did you see this or that, you know, really superficial thing. And then they can recognize that their partner is not feeling satisfied from this filler crap. And maybe they'll even go as far as trying to make themselves unsexy. They'll stop paying attention to their hygiene. They'll dress like shit. They'll just become kind of a slob. They'll make comments that make their partner see their partner, who initially saw them as this source of sexual desire. Like, they'll do everything they can to make themselves as unappealing and unsexual to their partner as they can, because they just want to avoid that ever growing responsibility, and avoid facing that obligation that they've neglected. And I think ultimately, and then what's worse is, they still, again, they've still got that shitty drain on their energy, and they need some sort of release. So instead of looking at their partner and connecting with their partner, they'll just go look at some porn, and they'll get off to porn. And then they feel guilt or shame for getting off to porn instead of, connecting with their partner. And so that just like amplifies the anxiety even worse. And so sex drive just falls even further down in the hole. And ultimately then they start getting like suspicious. So, excuse me. They know that they're not fulfilling that need, and they know their partner has that need. And then they're like, well, man, I wonder if she's like starting to check out other guys now. Oh, I saw her at a restaurant or whatever. I saw her at the restaurant she works at, or I saw her with some of her coworkers, and she was really warming up with them. And this other guy that's her friend, like, really seems to, light up, and she lights up when they talk. I bet she's like thinking about him, or maybe she's like looking at dating apps or something. And they start to get suspicious. And so they create this self-fulfilling prophecy where they do push their partner away. Like, maybe initially their partner isn't doing that. Their partner isn't actually eyeing other people, but their partner is feeling neglected. And by accusing their partner of looking for other sexual outlets, they eventually she's going to reasonably be like, well, gosh, maybe I should be looking for connection elsewhere. And he's not even going to have a conversation with me about what's going on. I can't get through to him. He's just totally checked out and totally avoiding me. Doesn't want to sleep with me anymore even. And so they just, this spiral of anxiety just pushes the relationship apart. It makes it like a source of pain and toxicity, mostly because this guy initially didn't know how to cope with this mismatch in his life. And didn't know how to communicate what he was feeling, and actually work it out with the person who presumably loves and desires him. I think that's my spiel on this whole thing.
Wow, there's so much in all of this. All right. So as you've been talking, I'm seeing obviously the female side of this. And I would like to say that as much as men feel at this point like the obligatory need to take care of their partner, there are so many women out there giving obligatory, blowjobs, obligatorily laying there while their partner fucks them, even though there's like zero desire. I think that there's this same thing of sexual detachment and avoidance is also happening with women. Like, this is supposed to be a show just for men, and it can be, but I just want to say, like, women are guilty of this as well. Not all of them, but some of them. And so what I'm thinking is this might just be a giant communication issue. Like, like seeing what's really happening, B, acknowledging it in your life, and then C, having a conversation with yourself and your partner that says, look, work is out of control. My life is out of control. I have too many obligations outside of our relationship and our home. And I need to pare that down in order to be, to have any kind of capacity for you, for the kids, for the dogs, for myself. And I think that we're all so just, we're overspent. We're fucking exhausted. Is that true?
Well, I think so. The second part of what you said there, ultimately, yes, I agree with. But going back to you were talking about women who just lie there while they're while their partner fucks them. I think that's a different thing, because what you're describing there is the man is still using his girlfriend or wife as a source of sexual gratification, but that's totally selfish. That's where he's viewing his partner in a totally selfish way. Like, I want to fuck her, but all I'm concerned about is my gratification here. I think that's different from just avoiding any sexual contact with her, because in the first one, it's just not giving a shit about her needs, mm-hmm. And not giving a shit about how, like, her pleasure. And the other is, well, I recognize that she has needs, and that makes me want to avoid her because I don't want to have to devote the energy to satisfying those needs. Which we've talked about that on an episode before as well. We're selfish lovers who mm-hmm. don't pay any attention to the pleasure, or don't have any sensitivity to the what gives their partner pleasure. But I think you're definitely right in that a big part of remedying that is recognizing the things that are in your life that are draining for you, and that aren't worth making a priority. Like, those things that are draining your energy away and making you too exhausted to engage in your relationship. Like, why are you prioritizing those things? Like, is it just routine? Is it just another feeling of obligation, like feeling trapped in that? And then having the wherewithal to figure out how to change that situation, how to recognize this thing isn't benefiting me. I'm not gaining anything in my life by maintaining this routine. So I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop doing that and do something different, and do something that brings me happiness and lets me engage with my partner as a source of joy and release, instead of just an obligation.
So I guess one of the questions I haven't asked you is, have you experienced this? Do you have firsthand experience, you know, with sexual detachment and avoidance?
I've gotten into relationships with people that I did not desire sexually. And I think that was a little bit different of a situation, because I think a lot of the relationships we're talking about are relationships where these partners did at some point really were hot for each other. Mm-hmm. And then because of stresses in life, it poured cold water on that. It diminished that and pushed them apart. I've been in relationships with, well, actually, yeah, I was in a relationship for about a year with somebody where at the start of it, we were pretty hot for each other. But I had a lot going on in life, a lot going on with school, to where I didn't have the energy to make her feel as as desired or make her feel as attended to as she wanted. And there were a lot of other mismatches too. But I can recognize though the sense of anxiety from when you're not satisfying your partner. But I try to be mindful also to not let that spiral out of control. So like if things are going bad and it's somebody that I value, then I will stop and try to address that and try to talk about it.
Can we
so go? No, ultimately no, I haven't had like this kind of spiraling out of control relationship disaster that we're talking about that we hear from a lot of women. But I've had, you know, brushes with it, and I've been able to recognize how things could get out of control like that.
Well, I want to ask about that. So let's peel one more layer of the onion back, because most people listening haven't had a disastrous spiral of 8 or 9 years or 10 years or 15 years of not fucking their partner. They end up with me in coaching or someone else or therapy or divorced, right? Most people have a somewhat decent relationship. They're like, I care and love about my partner, and sometimes we have sex, maybe even once or twice a week even. I'm curious, when you talk about like the brushes of sexual detachment or the brushes of like realizing that you're working too much, or like, how do you deal with it? B, what does it feel like in your body? How can you recognize that as a man, since this is a conversation about men and how to avoid it? How do you get out of it once you're in it? Because I notice that you do a great job. If there's any weirdness between the two of us, like, you're like, I'm gonna get this back on track, because you value the closeness that we have.
Yeah, I guess the first thing you do is don't just push it off to the side and make believe that it's going to go away. Like, you know, it's not going to go away. You know, it's just going to get worse. So, and it's funny. I mean, this isn't just men, but just people in general have this tendency to recognize an escalating crisis, and instead of confronting it, just pretending it's not happening and knowing that it's not going to get better. But just pushing, just procrastinating on it or pushing it off, which I really try not to do that. Like putting something off is the biggest, anxiety escalator for me. And then I'll think about what, like, if I'm feeling sexually detached from you, I'll think about ways, like things that kind of heat me up toward you. So like, you noticed, recently, I guess a few weeks ago, we had a conversation about how I just felt like, you know, my sexual battery, charges more slowly than yours. Mm-hmm. And I was just feeling kind of drained. And then afterwards, you may have noticed, well, I started coming to bed like naked, more often, because that, like, if we're maybe this is a little too personal.
There's no TMI. Go ahead.
But like, if we're both, normally we would both sleep, like I'll have my shorts on and a t-shirt, and you'll have your whatever panties and a shirt or something. And like that does not feel like that doesn't, there's just something that skin to skin contact, like, has this escalating sexual energy effect, like this feedback effect. And if I'm in there naked and you're naked and I just feel your body up against me, that'll get me going. Whereas, you know, if we're in bed and we're in our shorts and t-shirt, well, for whatever reason, it blocks that. It's not as, you know, that heat exchange just isn't there. And so I figured out that, oh, well, if I just go to bed naked and feel Jen rubbing up against me, well, I'm probably gonna get pretty excited here at some point, and you know, stuff's gonna happen. And so anyway, that's, you know, there will be different mechanisms for different people, but I just found, like, well, for me, that's something that really gets me turned on, is if we're just having skin to skin contact with each other, spooning and stuff.
Can I comment and then ask another question? Okay. So for me, the layers of clothing are needed unless I know sex is going to happen because I'm so turned on all the time that I can't calm my nervous system if I don't go to bed with clothes on. It's like torture. It's so weird, but it's true for me. So that's why I go to sleep with bits covered, you know. It's not like I'm wearing like long pajamas. Sometimes I do in the wintertime if it's freezing, but okay, so my other, like, peeling another layer of the onion back, and we'll just get personal. Why not? I mean, this is a personal podcast. I'm curious for other couples like us, where maybe the woman has a super high sex drive and the man has probably a normal sex drive. Is it exhausting to, like, for the man, if we're talking about attachment and avoidance, does it get to a point where it feels exhausting if she wants sex all the time? And then how do you not control, but like, how do you manage that with your own normal sex drive that's like, babe, two or three times a week should be good. And I can do well two to three times a week for you, but every day is like, that's a lot. Like, and I'm also curious if her constant asking and like showing desire and being hungry for you and all of that, and I'm not just talking about me, but like hypothetical woman, like, is that draining? Like, do you prefer to be in control and in the driver's seat of when sex happens? Can you break all this
Well,
down for us?
not totally. Like, no, I don't think it's fair if a couple only has sex when one person in that couple is expressing a desire for it. I'll just say us. Like, no, that's not fair that we're only going to have sex. You're only going to be feel satisfied or feel desired whenever I choose to do that. I'm having a hard time figuring out how to word this. But at the same time, if I'm just not feeling sexual, like I've got all kinds of other stuff on my mind, if so here's the thing that I've like complained about at you before, where I just want to come up and give you a hug. Like, I feel worn out. I just need to feel that warmth and an affectionate exchange. But if I try to hug you, you like kind of tense up, because for you, any physical contact is just going to get you turned on. And if I come up and hug you, you're like having to steel yourself to keep from getting turned on, and you can't just like embrace that moment of non-sexual affection. And so I feel like I can't just come up and seek warmth and affection from you, because ultimately it's just going to leave you sexually frustrated if I try to hug you. And then you'll say something like, okay, well, I'm not gonna express any desire to have sex with you until you tell me you want to. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel kind of bad. I could also see that if you were to like constantly broadcast your desire for us, like I should be grateful that you broadcast a desire for us to have sex. And at the same time, if it's, I'm not saying you do this, but I could see that if it were really frequent, it would start to feel like, again, like a little reminder going off of the obligation that you're not fulfilling, of the need that you're not satisfying. And it's just like an alarm clock. It just keeps buzzing at you, like, because your partner keeps coming and making those eyes at you, and you keep realizing, well, I'm going to have to just keep disappointing her because I'm not in the mood, or I've got this other stuff that's, you know, weighing on me.
Does this lead to detachment to our conversation? I think it does. Cruel thing that opposites attract, especially sexually, that even us, that we're in this relationship, this partnership together, where I do lust after you all day. Like, I'm always talking about how handsome you look and how cute your butt is in the kitchen, and like how I can't wait to jump your bones again. Like, I can't imagine being in a body that's different, that then is like, I'm just fucking exhausted by all of this. And can we just, you know, once a week, get like, I have so much more going on in my life.
It sucks because on one hand, I could feel excited about being desired. Like, it's exciting. It should be exciting when your partner desires you. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I think that's a really bad thing when you get to a point where it's just exhausting for you. Like, when your partner letting you know how much they want you to come ravish them, when that just like makes you feel mentally exhausted instead of excited, that's bleak. And I imagine a lot of people get there, or at least a lot of the people have told us these stories, because these women they've definitely been through the phase where they were broadcasting their partner, hey, I'd really like to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. And then their partner shoots them down or dismisses them, and then that just makes them feel really rejected.
Can I talk about that for a minute? Because I've been her multiple times now in two different marriages, and yes, I'm the horny one, I get that, but I have learned how to throttle back my own desire and sex drive. I'm in a throttle back era right now. Like, when you told me that day, look, I'm fucking exhausted. My batteries are exhausted. I cannot keep having sex with you so frequently. I throttled it back, and I don't feel desire as much. I don't feel it as strong. I'm not having masturbating in between our sex sessions. And a part of me feels sad about that. Like, I love that I feel so juicy and excited about life and about you, but I also realize it's better for my nervous system to not be so turned on all the time. And so I say that to say, I have been in other partnerships where it's been 8 months since I've had sex, and I forgot how to have it. Like, I just don't even think about it anymore, and I can just completely turn it off. And so I guess this feels like a podcast episode that's a little bit like there's no real solution, because there's these various sex drives happening. For women, we have ovulation happening throughout the month too. And so we're either in a peak or in a valley, and there's some kind of arousal or there's not some kind of arousal. So I guess what I wanted to say about my own experience with this as a woman, and I know all the women listening are they're going to be like, praise sister, I hear you. We start to feel not enough. We start to feel like, who's going to want this old thing? Like, I've had babies. Nobody's going to want to be with me again. You don't feel beautiful. You don't feel desired. And Scott, I'm not saying that you make me feel these things, but most women in long-term relationships, because you don't make me feel this way, but they feel this way from their partners. They feel like, if I can just lose more weight, if I can just be prettier, if I can just do this, if I can maybe, you know, brush up against him naked in bed, maybe he'll want me. And you're in this constant state of dejection that you don't want, you're not wanted. And you started this conversation saying every partner, I even wrote it down, every partner needs to feel desired. Like, that hasn't changed. Every one of us wants to feel desire. And so I think this sexual detachment and avoidance phase happens when for enough days or enough weeks or enough years, you're trying, whether you're female or you're male, it doesn't matter. But you're trying and your partner isn't interested and they keep saying no, and they're gaining weight and not going to the gym and dressing like a bum and not brushing their teeth and like all the things that you said that we do to maybe not even intentionally push our partner away. But it then becomes what happens in reality, because we're just like, how do we tune into these things? To make these, like you do, you like make these little adjustments where we have a hard conversation and I might feel a little dejected, but I'm like, okay, I got to reframe because I'm wearing them out. And then you're like, okay, here's my needs. And then you're like, okay, what if I come to bed naked? Does that help me with my sexual arousal? Oh, it does. And then I wake up and I'm like, ooh, you came to bed late naked last night, because you come usually back to bed later than me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, ooh, if I take my clothes off when he wakes up and then I snuggle my ass up to you where I'm like the little spoon and then I like grab our coconut oil and then you wake up and you're hard. And I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, definitely. And also, to kind of touch on part of what you said there about, you know, making your partner feel like they're not what turns you on anymore. This will sound puritanical or something, but and I'm not one of those people that thinks like porn should be banned, but I think that you really got to be mindful of the trap of using porn as your sexual release instead of your partner, because I think that eventually you're training yourself to be turned on by something other than your partner. And whatever your goals are, I don't think that that's going to help to keep having this, to keep having your sexual release be this one-sided fantasy thing, and training yourself that, oh, well, I'm going to get off this afternoon and it's not going to be with my girlfriend or my wife or whatever. I'm going to go home from work and I'm going to look for some MILF porn or something. And then you're getting excited for that, and you're not getting excited, like your partner stops being your source of excitement, and your little hit of gratification is that hollow that hollow little release from looking at porn that drains away as soon as you get off. Or I think this probably also happens with guys, is where, you know, like sex seems so available now, especially with like dating apps and social media. And it probably becomes very appealing to look for that no commitment sexual growth. Like, you want to feel desired too, and for some reason you have stopped being aroused by your partner desiring you, but it's appealing and exciting when some stranger desires you. So you go on to social media or you go onto a dating app and try to like get get the sexual gratification of some stranger being into you, and again pushing it. I mean, in that case, it's a betrayal. Like, you're just outright betraying your partner. I think it's yeah. Anyway,
I know.
That's
I was
a whole
like,
other,
we could totally go
that's
down
a whole
that
other
rabbit
rabbit hole
hole,
we
but
could go
let's
down,
not.
is getting into the cheating thing and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, yeah, that's
I
about,
have some things to say about this.
Okay.
Okay. So episode 132 is how to make your own spank bank. And I talk about how Scott and I create our own porn together, where we host it, how we got started, different ways to do this, different modalities. We have everything from audio only. We have video. We have pictures. I have subfolders with girlfriends that have willingly and happily wanted to join into the Spank Bank thing. And we share that with them in subfolders where each one of us can only access like the level that is appropriate. Everything is like protected in our little space that we have it. And then also in episode number 92, which Scott comes back on and talks about men, how to be amazing at sex. He also talks about this. So let's just really quick, one more layer down. I mean, we don't have to really quick. This is fun. I love getting really deep with you and being able to explore all of this without having to be in a hurry, by the way. This is kind of fun. You're like, I'm sure you have stuff to do, but can I ask one more question?
Sure. Go
Okay.
For it.
Okay. So we're talking about porn, and I am seeing quite a bit of posts on Facebook about this, even from men going like, men, you should not be looking at porn. I don't ever want to yuck somebody else's yum. So if porn is the thing,
I don't
that,
either.
Yeah, if porn is the thing that turns you on, fantastic. I've done everything from like literotica, where you're reading stuff. Y'all, that's what these erotica raunchy romance novels is, that all these chicks are, the smut, it is freaking porn. It's just written. I've listened to audio books. In fact, I've had Guided by Glow founder on the app as well. I mean, here on the podcast. And we talked about that and listening to porn and how you get to use your imagination. And you can even put you and your partner in your mind going through this scenario. And then I've listened and watched, I've watched porn myself. As Scott knows, I like Valesa because it's for women, created by women. There's consent conversations. There's all kinds of yumminess in that app that makes me feel a little bit less sleazy than Pornhub. So like, Scott, where does porn fit into your repertoire, just the collective's repertoire of being turned on? And how can you help maybe use it to like turn your affection and attention to your partner? Is it like every now and then you get like the cherry on your sundae and you do look at MILF porn because, you know, your wife is not, maybe this is, well, I mean, she could be MILFy, but maybe it's like stepmom porn, or maybe it's like, you know, MFM porn. And that's something that we don't do, but maybe I might find super arousing. And every now and then I want to go check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably normal and reasonable to occasionally fantasize about something other than your partner. But I also think it's really great when you can incorporate your partner into what you're fantasizing. And, you know, maybe the porn you look at it's something that makes you think of your partner. Like you're looking at porn with people who resemble your partner, or you are, you know, talking with your partner about what you thought was hot in it, and then view it as something that you could do together. I know that sounds really cliche, but like, I find that, I mean, not that I've really spend a lot of time, a lot of porn puts me off. But I think I mentioned to you before, like, sometimes if I'm like just around by myself, I'll look for porn where it's somebody that resembles you, and then it makes me think about you. And then, like, that helps turn me on for later. Or sometimes you'll like describe things that you read about, or you'll describe like, if we're together and you'll describe, wouldn't it be hot if we were doing this together to somebody? And like, you know, you're narrating this kind of porn that we're both engaged in together. I like that a lot.
I know you love my narrations while
yeah,
we're having sex.
They're fantastic. But yeah, I don't know. I think I've wandered off from the.
For me, it's our here. Spank bank. Again, I still sometimes watch stuff. I am now all into the smut
fact,
books.
I owe you a video.
You owe me a video. Y'all, sometime the other day, I was reading a smut book and I am literally one hand with my phone reading and the other hand, I'm like, I freaking got off to a smut book in my bed by myself with some coconut oil. Scott was
Good
gone.
Job.
I was like, holy fucking shit. This is so hot. And I get to use my mind to imagine the characters and the scenario and the, and for me, it's so much easier. Like, again, I also watch porn every now and then, but like the spoon feeding that porn is, you know, it's like reading a book versus watching in the Netflix version. Like, it's just not the same. It's yummier to me. But anyway, I also love our spank bank. So I like to go in there every now and then, or I'll go into like my Facebook DMs where Scott sometimes originally sends me things because the kids don't have access to it. And if I get into like the portion where it's like media and it's like dick pic, video of his dick, he's left me voice memos
all right
explaining to me how sexy he's going to do things the next time or whatever. That it to me is so much hotter than just going on Pornhub and looking for something to kind of get me excited. Like I can remember where we were in that moment or what it felt like, or like wearing that outfit. And when I wore that green jumpsuit, what you did to me at lunch because it turned you on so much, and you walking up to me in the office with your cock in your hand, like that's the kind of stuff that you just, I know, I'm sorry, I'm making you embarrassed, but I want our audience to think about how can I create my own spank bank when I'm feeling detachment to my partner? How can I go to something that I know is going to pull me back in to my connection with them?
Yeah,
because I think
absolutely.
after 2.5 years, what keeps it hot for us is we're still connecting sexually. We still touch each other throughout the day, not in a sexual way necessarily, but you do. You still hug me. I come behind you when you're working. We meet in the kitchen to get coffee together. We should probably make out more, but like we're really intentional about keeping that connection.
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing else you want to add? Did I thoroughly embarrass you?
No, I think you summed it up pretty well there.
You're a really cute shade of red right now.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that we did a really fucking amazing job with this conversation.
Hope
so again,
so.
to bring it back to the beginning, we talked about men spiral into sexual detachment and avoidance. Scott gave us reasons and kind of examples of how 10 and 20 year marriages end in zero sex with super hot women, and we're all confused about how it happens. And he explained how it happens. You're super busy at work. You come home, there's no space. You're trying to check out. You stop. It's a week or two or three, and you haven't connected with your partner. We talked about ways that you might feel the detachment happening and how to check yourself and then tap back into your partner. We gave our own examples of something recently that happened with us because we're just like everybody else. And we're not always, you know, fucking 10 times a day either. Like there are times that we feel that detachment. And we talked about navigating a partner that's super horny all the time when you have a normal sex drive, or maybe that's just not a thing for you, and what to do to get out of it. So hopefully this conversation, A, helped you feel not alone. B, maybe made you realize that, you know, your partner might be feeling certain things based on your detachment to them. And C, gave you some ideas of how to plug back in. Scott, is there anything else that you want to leave us with?
No, that's great. I hope that, I guess I don't know how many men listen to this. I hope that people will try to be more mindful of what they're prioritizing and what they're putting their energy into and what they're letting cause them anxiety. And then also not being afraid or avoidant of communicating with their partner about what's happening and why it's happening. And yeah, that's about all I got. Thanks
you
for having me
on
again.
I love it. I think the next thing that we'll record together, we'll bring Steph back and we'll talk about what it's been like to be in a triad, in a throuple, whatever word you want to use, for an entire year. Because this is our 1 month anniversary with her.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
All right.
I love you.
I love
Thanks for
you
being
too.
On.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that's really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics sound interesting to you and you'd love to get some coaching from me, check out the link in the show notes or the link in my bio for more information.